That's music of American composer Eric E. Wazin. We heard the third movement of Shadow Catcher. It's a piece composed for symphonic band and brass quintet. And this is a very special recording. The Western Michigan University Symphonic Band and the Western Brass Quintet heard there in a 2014 recording led by the then director of bands, Robert Spradling. And as promised, my guests here this morning are all of the band directors at Western Michigan University, including Associate Director of Bands Trey Harris, who leads the Bronco Marching Band, Associate Professor of Music Education Mary Land, who leads the Concert Band, and Scott Borma, the Director of Bands and leader of the WMU Wind Symphony. I'd like to welcome you to Classical WMUK on this Wednesday. Hello to all of you.
Hello.
Hello.
I love it when everyone chimes in. Dr. Borma, could we take a moment to remember Robert Spradling, who passed away this summer, and one of his legacies was spending 20 years in the role you now occupy as director of bands, and he was a beloved figure.
Absolutely. He was here from 1993 to 2013. I got to know him early on. I was a high school band director when I first came to Western and had him come out and work with my bands a couple of times, and just was one of the most gracious gentlemen I've ever met.
Is that the kind of person and teacher that keeps people's music interest in music a sort of a lifelong thing? They're fond memories of maybe an intense period in college or high school, but something that can that brings warm feelings for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. I think the people behind the music making, of course, are always the significant aspect, the most significant aspect of making music. And since the unfortunate passing of Bob this earlier this summer, just the outpouring of past students and colleagues, it's been just remarkable to see the tributes and the stories that people have shared about their time with him and the effect that they had, not on just their music making, but on their lives.
That's wonderful to hear. And it was a sad loss. Was he supportive of your of you as director of bands or as a composer? I know you write music and get commissioned from time to time.
Well, you know, it's always, whenever I tell friends of mine in the business that the former director of bands still lives in town and comes to all of our concerts, they go, oh, wow, what's that like? And it was marvelous. He was the most amazing supporter of me, of our program continuing. He wanted nothing more than for the students to continue to have the musical successes that he built while he was here, and was at every performance, and was just a dear supporter of everything we did.
Yesterday on this program, my guest was Andrew Kohler, who is taking up the reins of the University Symphony this semester. And he said, I never thought I would spend an entire summer learning about aerosols in the air and studying science reports to see what's possible in a pandemic. The School of Music has a unique situation on its hands because of the pandemic, and because the nature of music is to rehearse and be together and have close contact. Other schools in the university might have ways of getting around this, going all remote, but with music, it's a different story. When did the discussions begin on how to accommodate this pandemic?
Well, if you don't mind me continuing to jump in, Trey and Mary, the president of the College Band Directors National Association, Mark Speed, he's the director of bands at Clemson University, contacted us all and said he wanted to start an initiative to get some studies. And this was back in May when, or May, probably April, when things really hit. and commissioned this group of scientists at the University of Colorado to do a study specifically on the aerosol emissions from wind instruments and singers. And it's a really long story. It's taken the entire summer to get where we are with our knowledge, and this study will continue on for several more months as well. But the basic things we're finding, it's been able to give us some really specific guidelines of how to mitigate the risks and set up a situation that we feel that our students can be safe in. The recommendations have come out for bell covers to put over the bells of all the wind instruments, made out of nylon, 2-ply, specifically 80 denier. That's a new term that I learned over the summer. Everybody's, of course, wearing masks all the time, but we have special masks designed with slits for the mouthpieces so the students can still be masked up and still play their instruments. We have total instrument bags with 2 holes in them for the hands for all of the woodwind instruments, clarinets, oboes, saxophones, because not only does the air come out of the bell of the instrument, but it comes out of all the holes that the keys that they're pressing. We're requiring that brass players have like a puppy pad or a personal rag for their condensation, their spit, so they take care of that, bring that in and out. The guidelines recommend 6 feet spacing, just like normal social distancing, except for trombones. We need 9 feet for trombones. But we're setting up a situation that's bigger than that. We're doing at least 8 feet separation and 10-foot separation for the back row with the trombones. Straight lines facing directly forward instead of arcs. We have an outdoor area between Miller and the fountain, a tent cover, a circus tent cover over it, so we can do most of our rehearsals outdoors. Students are bringing their own music stands, so they won't be touching all the different sharing music stands. The staff will be setting up and tearing down chairs and cleaning them in between. There'll be an organized entering and exiting of spaces. Rehearsals will be limited to 30 minutes only, with at least 50 to 100 minutes of time in between for the room or the area to rest. And all these guidelines happened from this and various other studies that have been going on around the world. So we band directors and large ensemble conductors have been staying on the edge of our seats to hear every announcement that's made from those studies.
I'm impressed with the initiative and the sort of global understanding among band directors that you had to get real facts and quickly, yes, as quickly as possible, that this was such a coordinated and effort among the Association of Band Directors. I mean,
well, it's been a remarkable with us all now learning how to use Zoom and WebEx and Google Meet and all these platforms. We've spent a lot of time in those sessions, and it's really, I feel closer to my college band directing friends around the country than I ever have, because we talk every week and share these thoughts and share the findings and share our plans for how we're going to make this happen. And it's been a summer-long intensive planning session.
I'm a little in the dark as to whether students have started rehearsing yet. I mean, usually by this time of year, I can hear the really loud metronome going in that parking lot, and you know, some great arrangements being played, but I haven't heard too much activity.
Right. So the Bronco Band last week has moved to we're doing a two-pronged approach to sort of enhance safety and make sure that no students are doing anything that they're uncomfortable with. But we've moved to an online format, a virtual Bronco Marching Band experience is what we're calling it. And then in addition, there's a face-to-face option for the students. So if the students feel safe with the mitigation things, that the protocols that we're putting in place, then they have the opportunity to still participate in a face-to-face setting. However, there are still students that, you know, that don't feel secure with that. And I don't ever want to ask a student to do something that they're, you know, not comfortable with. But, you know, since since the canceling of football happened a couple weeks ago, the MAC was the first FBS conference to do that. And then the limitations put, given COVID and things like that, we went ahead and canceled our summer band camp, or at least truncated it to next Tuesday. So that's the reason that you haven't yet heard the metronome going and heard any of Scott's arrangements being played, because we do always try to play something of his. But you will hear that.
Thanks for the plug, Trey.
You will start to hear that stuff starting next Tuesday.
Well, good, because I will cling to that as a sign of normality, even though we are in abnormal times. Mary, how have you been keeping up with the research as well, and clicking in weekly to your colleagues' discussions on safety?
Absolutely, and there's a good number of students participating in concert band that actually are not music majors, and they come from the School of Engineering, nursing, a lot of different areas throughout the university. And it's been very fulfilling whenever I send emails out to those enrolled in concert band, how they are so appreciative of all of our band directors making sure that they're safe. And they want to participate, and they're very excited about the fact that we're getting an outdoor rehearsal space. And they just almost like this morning, I have received several emails from students just expressing their appreciation for looking out for them and for their safety, and that they want to make music. And even if it's just going to be for a 30-minute period. And we kind of adopted the phrase, we're not changing what we do, we're just changing how we do it.
Yeah.
And things seem to be unfolding pretty well.
This is bringing back a personal memory that has never left me. And that was going to a brand new school and sitting down in my chair in the band, which was a better band than I knew existed on earth. I went from a very small program to this program, and I lost it within the first few chords. The incredible being surrounded by such harmony. It was a Brahms piece. It was one of those Freckenpohl arrangements. And I've never lost that sense of wonder and just incredible shock at how beautiful it sounded and how much I needed it at that time. I was a nervous new kid at this school. Mm-hmm. So I can say that music can be so life-affirming, hope-giving. It's so important. I have a feeling that the music you play this semester will be remembered by your students for years and years to come.
Well, we are, more than anything this summer, just the postings on Facebook of musicians and the sharing on Zoom calls, and the hardest thing for musicians, of course, is the lack of that human interaction. Music in its essence is about humans expressing and sharing and communicating together. And, you know, art has been around since the beginning of humankind. There's a reason we need it. And I think that everybody has a craving to have a taste of that. We will be doing all smaller ensembles this year. So everything that we play will be groups of 20 people or less. And so it's a lot of chamber winds music, and and some a new thing is flex band. It's a new term that a lot of composers are taking their pieces and rewriting them because of the pandemic to make it more playable by a variety mix of instruments. That's one of the hardest things we have going on. Is typically we go into a school year, we know exactly who's going to be in the ensemble. Well, Well, this year, people around the country, they don't know what they're going to have until they get there, and that might change on a day-to-day basis. So having flexibility is going to be key.
We're hearing from Dr. Scott Borma, the director of bands at Western Michigan University and leader of the WMU Wind Symphony, as well as Mary Land, directing the concert band, associate professor in music education, and Trey Harris, the associate director of bands who leads the Bronco Marching Band, which is celebrating 100 years this year.
It's interesting that you brought that up. So the Bronco Marching Band was actually founded in 1915. So this is technically 105 years.
Oh.
We were going to be, well, and it harkens back to a different time. So back during the World Wars, the Bronco Marching Band took some time off because a lot of people were serving the country and doing that. So this year actually was going to be the celebration of the 100th season. However, with the cancellation of football and the moving of the Bronco Band to online, that 100th season, that centenary, is going to be pushed to the 2021 season.
I know, for another, extraordinary reason. Yeah.
It's interesting because it showcases the longevity of this group, and that this is not the first time that we've had to take a season away from most of our performances. It's one of those things that evidently this happens. Extenuating circumstances take place every few decades, and the Bronco Marching Band just keeps blowing and keeps going along with it. But back to your the statement you made about going to a new school and hearing those first few chords and needing that participation in music, I found that compelling because there's so many students that participate, and this goes more so for the Bronco Band and the concert band. The students that are not music majors that seek out opportunities on college campuses to still participate in music. I told Scott, I know a couple of years, maybe a year ago, and I think I've talked to Mary about this. It's as a former public school music teacher, high school band director, I used to try to measure my success by the number of students that continued to participate in any sort of music making after they left high school. So it's refreshing to see so many students, even in the crisis that we're in right now, are still actively seeking out a means to participate in music. And that's why we've been working so hard this summer to make sure that they still have those opportunities.
I feel compelled to bring up a darker side, and that is that it seems inevitable that Western will not be an exception, and there will be an outbreak of some kind when students return to campus. It's in the headlines these days. At that point, if we have an outbreak, then what?
Well, go ahead. Who wants to take it?
Sorry.
Well, I think our fearless leader in our university band has already come up with a plan. In fact, he was in touch with both Trey and myself yesterday, or the first, at least sometime earlier this week, about plans when this is to happen and how we can continue to teach virtually our band classes. Scott?
Well, one thing we've discovered is Zoom is not in real time, so you can't have an ensemble playing together or a conductor conducting an ensemble because the time delay is not good. And so we've all seen these virtual choirs, the Eric Whitaker things. Well, those are all a study in recording engineering, not in music.
A study in post-production there, yeah.
Right. Post-production, hours and hours with individuals really not interacting with each other. And so there's no way to really achieve that yet. But we can have guest presenters. The three of us will take turns presenting, talking about different subjects relating to ensemble experiences. We can have listening exercises and discussions. We can have score study and discussions. So I think there are a lot of things that we can do that relate to the act of making music together, which hopefully will make us stronger for when we're able to really go all in again.
Go ahead, Trey.
By the Bronco Band moving to the online forum last week, we're somewhat set up for if and when that actually happens. So all the students are aware of the online component, so we can just move the transition that way. And then one of the most important things in the Bronco Marching Band is the interaction that the students have with one another. So they can still have, you know, Zoom sectionals and gatherings and things like that virtually, so that the community is still able to be reinforced. And I think that's one of the things that when everything shut down the first time back in March, one of the things that we really struggled with was how do we still reinforce within our concert ensembles that sense of community and that sense of collaborative participation. And I think, you know, here we are 6 months later, it's going to be a struggle, but it's something that we've been thinking about for quite some time. So hopefully it'll be an easier transition.
For some reason, I just flashed on 2001, A Space Odyssey, where the astronaut calls his family, you know, and you're watching that in the theater years ago and thinking, wow, that's just amazing. And now we can do it anytime, anywhere there's an internet connection.
Yes. And I can tell you that the students truly are grateful for the work that they see the faculty doing to make their education beneficial to them at this time. I have right now sitting in my backyard two of my music ed colleagues, and we are going to get in on Zoom and do breakout practice with the breakout rooms and practice playing instruments and putting things out on the board. And hopefully we're ready whenever this breakout, if it occurs, to move forward.
I would like to hear a little more about the musical arrangements you've been doing, Dr. Borma, of these flex arrangements. Any pieces we know?
Well, I haven't personally been doing them, but we have many of the most well-known composers of band music in particular taking their well-known, some of their well-known works and changing them to be able to be played by these. Maybe Mary can expand on that a little bit, because that's primarily what the concert band's going to be doing.
Yes, it's another very creative way that musicians are keeping what we do happening. And the repertoire that I selected for the concert band to perform are arrangements by some of the best composers of wind band music, and they've taken some of their greatest compositions, and they have now rewritten it in four parts. And these four parts or five parts can be played by any instrument. For example, if Frank Dekelly has written this piece titled Vesuvius, and has very prominent alto saxophone solo in it, but he's written it so that if your group, you don't have that saxophone player in your group this due to the pandemic, it can be played by a different instrument. It's going to be very interesting to see if particularly some of the music in my head, I know how it should sound by the instrumentation, but it might be being played by a group of four clarinets, 12 trombones, two flutes. You know, whatever our instrumentation that is actually registered for the class and coming to the class. And for concert band, I am breaking it down into small groups so we can have simultaneously two bands going at once, just smaller numbers for safety reasons and space reasons. But I'm really excited. Dr. Gorman told me that one of my pieces has arrived. It was ordered, and I'm very much looking forward to getting into it and seeing how we're going to go about this.
Four to five interchangeable parts. I mean, it sounds like, you know, back in the Renaissance, you had your broken consorts, so that mm-hmm. there's all the flexibility in the world, depending on who was around to mm-hmm. play.
Yeah. Cara, one other thing I'd like to talk about is the fact that since we're doing chamber music primarily, there's a wealth of fantastic chamber winds music and percussion music that has been written over the centuries. We are making concerted efforts to play music by underrepresented composers, composers of color, female composers. Well, the vast majority of the chamber winds repertoire that we all know and love is written by a lot of dead white guys.
Yeah.
And so it's been a real project this summer to find works by underrepresented composers that serve our needs with these chamber ensembles. And beautifully, we've discovered a great many of them, and there's wonderful music being written that just hasn't been at the forefront of normal performance. So we're looking forward to delving into some of those as well.
I'm so glad to hear that. I, too, have been looking for more diverse sources of classical music and, you know, much more. And it has been a gratifying search, personally. The fact that part of the summer you are allowed to explore and learn and keep that, it's part of the wonderful thing about being any kind of musician is it's an exploratory way of existing. Yeah,
it's definitely going to look and sound a lot different. And people walking through the plaza area in between all the arts buildings are going to be treated to a lot of music these days.
Those will be our concerts.
Yeah. And we're really hoping for great weather too.
Oh yes.
Well, before we go, was there any final thoughts or things we may have missed in our conversation today before I put on a little Bernstein for his 102nd birthday today?
Well, if I could backtrack to Bob Spradling just a little bit,
sure.
we have set up a memorial scholarship in his name, the Robert Spradling Memorial Scholarship. And if anybody out there has been touched by Bob through participating with him, making music, or listening to the music that he has guided over the years, I hope they will look for that. They just go to the Western Michigan University Alumni Association webpage. There's a place for giving. And we were really trying to have future students benefit from all that he's done for us.
Anyone else?
No, we're just really excited to see our students again and to to figure out how to collaborate with them musically. I think they, as well as us, have been missing that over the last 6 months. So we're excited for next week.
And as we get closer to next week, to Wednesday of next week for me, my first start day, every day gets more enthusiasm as we are getting back to working with the students and selecting music. And we appreciate you so much, Kara, having us on your show to talk about all things band at Western.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine. And I look forward to touching base with you again soon. Up next, we'll close out here with the Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music Wind Symphony, Eugene Corporon. This is an arrangement for band of Bernstein's Overture to Candide, a celebratory piece. And let's hope we can find reasons to celebrate, especially music making at Western Michigan University. And thank you for sharing your caring, your preparation. And fingers crossed, there will be music making this semester on campus. Thank you for chatting with me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Kara.